This is Audible.
Harper Audio presents Maggie and Abby's Never-Ending Pillow Fort by Will Taylor. Performed by Cassandra Morris. For my mom. 1. There's no sound in the world quite like the sound of a cat getting stuck to an ice cream truck. Most kids would have missed it, but after 6 weeks without Abby, 6 weeks of being almost completely on my own, 6 weeks where going out to get the mail was becoming the best part of my day, my senses were on high alert for anything even halfway interesting while I was out there. It went down blink by blink, in perfect, slow motion. Plink, plink, doop, doodle, doop, plink! Went the ice cream truck parked innocently across the street, its music filling the summer afternoon. Rear! Went Samson, Abby's huge black and white cat, launching himself at something small and buzzy near the back of the truck. Ksht! Went Samson's snaggle paw, the one with the claws he couldn't pull back, latching with a plasticky crinkle onto the vinyl banner advertising RoboPops and chocolate swirl bars, and Fun Fun Rainbow Krispies. Slam! Went Caitlin, the high school senior across the street, who always stopped to use her own bathroom when she was out on her ice cream route, leaving her house with her eyes glued to her phone. Meow! Went Samson again, tugging forlornly at his paw. The banner shook, but the cat stayed stuck. Caitlin was laughing at something happening on her screen. She didn't see Samson. She climbed into the driver's seat. She turned on the engine. Hey, no, wait! Went my heart. If Caitlin drove away, Samson could get hurt. He could lose his claws for good. Or worse, Caitlin might back up and Samson could be killed. Or Caitlin might start driving, see Samson in her side mirror, panic drive into a utility pole, and then Caitlin could be killed. Or she might slam on the brakes, making a truck that could possibly be behind her by then veer out of the way to avoid her, jump the curb, and hit me instead, and then I could be killed. Or a truck could be coming from one way and a school bus from the other, and Caitlin might still be laughing at her phone, and in the confusion, all of us could be killed. This was a potential disaster on an epic scale. This was the Titanic pulling away with every kitten on Earth napping in the cargo hold. No. This was the space shuttle counting down to liftoff, with an entire kindergarten class hiding under its booster rockets. I had to do something. Options, Maggie, options. Got it. Get the shuttle operator's attention. Caitlin! I yelled. No response. My call was lost in the plinking roar of the musical liftoff engines. I stepped forward to cross the spaceport tarmac, but a lunar cargo supply truck zoomed by from the other direction, and I flinched back. I couldn't get out there in time. It was too dangerous. Meow! Cried the cornered kindergarten class. Through the waffle cone decals on the shuttle window, I saw the pilot strap herself in and snap her visor down. I had seconds to act. I stared around desperately, then looked down at my hands and smiled. They were full of flares, charged and ready for use. Of course, I'd planned for this. I always planned ahead, because something could always go wrong. I planted my feet right on the edge of the tarmac, took a deep breath, threw both hands up and out and forward, and shouted again, giving it everything I'd got just as the shuttle began to move. Hey! My voice rang around the space depot, echoing off the shining chrome buildings, rising to a roar as the flares exploded into thousands of shining white sparks, flying through the air in all directions. The wind blew my hair back, and I laughed in triumph and relief as the driver looked up, and the shuttle slammed to a halt. The fire in its engine died. Hey! Caitlin called, rolling down her window. You dropped your mail! I blinked and looked around. She was right. The mail I'd just collected was scattered on the hot street between us. 5 or 6 envelopes and a catalog for discount wrapping paper. You caught a cat! I said, pointing. Caitlin quirked an eyebrow. I looked both ways and jogged across the road. Caitlin turned off the engine and got out. Oh, hey, she said as I unhooked Samson from her truck. That's not good at all. She scratched Samson's ears. Sorry I almost dragged you off, buddy. Lucky you were out here to see him, Maggie. Luck had nothing to do with it, I thought. A special agent rescue specialist, trained in the use of flares, always knows where and when she'll be needed. The wind blew through my hair. Sure, I said, gathering Samson up into my arms. He was already purring. Thanks for stopping. Caitlin laughed. Like I had a choice. I've seen people do a lot of weird things to flag down an ice cream truck, but no one's ever thrown their mail at me before. I looked up and down the street. There were no cars coming, but if I didn't get the remains of those flares picked up quick, I'd have to explain to my mom why her catalog had tire tracks on it. Hey, do you think... I said, shrugging Samson to show that my hands were full. Of course, said Caitlin. You saved the day. I repeated that phrase to myself, picturing a glorious victory parade for me going down our street as Caitlin gathered the mail and tucked it under my arm. Was this yours, too? She asked, holding up a cheap plastic pen. I squinted at it. Ah, yes, the hypno-ray gun I'd been flipping through my fingers when I approached the mailbox. You never know when those things will come in handy. You keep it, I said generously. I've got plenty more. Okay, thanks. Caitlin slipped the pen into her pocket. Here, hang on a second. She opened the back of the truck and rummaged around, emerging with a wrapped Mega Ultra Caramel Swizzle Cone. On me, she said, setting it in my elbow beside Samson. Wow, thanks! I mean... I dropped my voice, trying to be cool and not sound like, I don't know, a third grader. You don't have to do that. You helped me out, Caitlin shrugged. And you've been alone a whole lot this summer. Thought maybe you could use a pick-me-up or something. Huh? I said. How do you know I've been alone? Caitlin pulled out her phone again. I live across the street, remember? I see you all the time sitting up on your roof, or staring into space every time you get the mail. Your friend went to summer camp without you, right? Abby? Yes, she went to camp. This was weird. So Caitlin had been watching me, had she? I began assessing which rival spy agency she might be working for. How did you... You've got a postcard from her in there. Caitlin nodded toward the mail getting sweaty in my armpit. Plus, one of her brothers told me. She tilted her head toward the turquoise house, one to the right of mine. Abby's house. Her twin brothers had stayed home all summer. I'd seen them playing soccer in the front yard. But they were juniors in high school, and about as likely to hang out with a soon-to-be sixth grader like me as Caitlin was. Abby's coming home soon, though, I said. Very soon. Suddenly, I was burning with impatience. My arms were full of successfully rescued cat, free ice cream, and apparently the latest postcard from Abby. This mission was officially over. Anyway, thanks again for the swizzle cone, I said, scanning the road. Sure, sure. Thanks for saving me from the cat, or the other way around. Hope your summer gets better, Caitlin said, tapping at her phone. Then she stopped and looked up at me. Really looked. You know what? She said. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have assumed just because you're alone, you're not okay. People can have amazing things going on in their lives that no one else knows about. I bet you're having a whole summer full of awesome adventures, aren't you? She smiled, patting me on the shoulder. Of course you are. You go get him, Tiger! And she returned to the truck. It was my turn to quirk an eyebrow. Yeah, definitely not suspicious behavior. Definitely not clearly working for a counter-spy agency. I got out a hurried, "You too!" as Caitlin closed the door. Then I crossed back to my own territory. The tinkling of the ice cream truck faded in the distance as Samson twisted lazily out of my arms and dropped onto the grass, taking the mail and the ice cream with him. "You're welcome, buddy," I called, as his tail disappeared through the gap in the fence leading to Abby's place. I wiped my forehead. I loved that cat, but hypno-ray guns, he was heavy. My house phone jangled through the open kitchen window as I scooped up the ice cream and letters, and I hustled in to answer it. "Hi, Mom," I said, hopping up on the counter. I tucked the phone against my neck and started flipping through the mail. Bill, bill, junk, bill, junk, catalog. Hey, a second postcard. Hi, sweetie. How's the day? Fine. I rescued Abby's cat from a killer ice cream truck, and I just got another postcard from Uncle Joe. Aw, I should probably be mad my little brother writes to you more than me. The intercom buzz and bustle of the hospital break room echoed behind her. How's he doing? I scanned the postcard. Good, same as the last few months. Alaska, whales, cabin, whales, research, sciencey science, and more whales. That's Joe. What's that crinkling noise I'm hearing? That is the sound of a mega ultra caramel swizzle cone being unwrapped, I said. Caitlin across the street gave it to me. That was nice of her. I'm glad you're spending time with other people. Make sure you eat something with vegetables for dinner, though. I just barely avoided a sigh. You won't be home? Be right there, my mom said to someone who wasn't me. What, sweetie? No, that's why I called. I'll be working late again. I'm shocked, I said, biting off a chunk of ice cream. Oh, don't start, said my mom. Deep, slow breath. You'll be fine. Hang on. No, I said I'll be right there. Well, I think Philip should be able to handle that without me by now. One second. Sweetie, sorry, but I really have to go. Remember what I said about dinner and make sure you get your chores done, okay? I took another bite. I was powering my way through that ice cream. Yes, Mom, I said around a mouthful of caramel crunchy bits. And really, what else was there to say? I'd been used to my mom being gone since she got promoted to head doctor in the Kids with Cancer ward. And now that I was 11 staring down 12, and she trusted me to be okay on my own all day, I was starting to forget what she looked like. I was fine with it before, when I had school stuff and Abby was around, but things hadn't gone to plan this summer. And after 6 long weeks of being really, truly, actually alone, if you don't count those first 2 weeks of, oh my ice cream, let's not talk about it, beginner tennis lessons, which went about as well as me around a group of strange new kids has ever gone, I could say for certain it wasn't much fun at all. Okay then, real goodbye now, said my mom. Love you, see you soon. You too, I replied. My mom hung up first. Well, hey, another night of being all by my lonesome. I stuffed the last of the ice cream into my mouth, fished Abby's postcard out of the bill pile, and headed for my pillow fort in the living room. The fort's technical name was Grommet's Room, after Abby's favorite movie. But with no Abby around to get the inside joke, I'd just been calling it my Fortress of Fortitude. At least it was cool and comfortable after my cat-carrying marathon in the afternoon heat. I flicked on the lamp, rearmed myself with a new pen from the arts and crafts corner, and settled back against the sofa cushions to read the latest from Camp Cantaloupe. Maggles! I saw a turtle today. I named it Brandon McPondy. It pooped beside the lake. Wish you were here. Can't believe it's almost over. Home Thursday. Abs. That was all. Only, wait. Thursday. Today, Thursday? I sat up, staring around as though some total stranger would appear and confirm that, yes, today was the 5th day of the week, and this glorious news was true. I punched the air, my mood doing a complete 180. Abby was coming home today. But there was something weird going on with the postcard. This was Abby's very last message. So why was she still writing in code? She'd been sending cheerfully pointless cards every other day since she got to camp, all way too out of character to be anything but secret messages. But for the life of me, I'd never been able to work out what her encryption system was. I'd been counting on some sort of big reveal at the end. But here she was, keeping the act going right up to the final card. It was very mysterious. Camp Cantaloupe must have been such a horrible, oppressive place that she couldn't risk saying any more until she was safely home. Of course, Camp Cantaloupe wouldn't have been horrible if I'd been able to go with her like we'd planned. Then it would have been, like Abby said, amazing. Then instead of waking up week after week to a silent house and boring chores, I'd have been waking up to a log cabin with splintery floors, dead wasps in the windows, and Abby snoring away in the bunk below me. And when we lined up for roll call, we would have been standing side by side because our last names are close, and they would call out, "Hernandez! Abigail!" And Abby would shout, "Hair!" And I would smile. And they would call, "Hetzger! Margaret!" And I would shout, "Peasant!" And Abby would snort. And then we'd steal all the red and orange Fruit Loops from the mess hall, and the games would really begin. Camp Cantaloupe would never know what hit it. But we didn't go to camp together. Our plans failed. And all because my overworked mom forgot to send in my camp registration paperwork, and by the time anyone realized, it was too late. Abby did everything she could to cancel, but we couldn't stop it. We were doomed to spend the first half of our last summer before sixth grade and middle school, where, if the stories were true, everything was going to change, and the Earth's crust would break into pieces, and the world as we'd known it would be turned upside down, horribly, tragically apart. I reread Abby's card, looking for hidden patterns. Can't believe it's almost over. What could that mean? Abby had promised she would hate every minute of camp without me. And these messages, all on official silly Camp Cantaloupe postcards, were so fun, rainbow, crispy, cheerful, they had to be fake. My co-secret agent just did not use that many exclamation marks. And what about the other clues? Along with her steady stream of postcards, Abby had sent back a map of the campgrounds, a speckled owl feather, and a scarf she'd made out of an old patchwork quilt during her first arts and crafts lesson. I'd spent a whole week working out rescue missions based on the map, but had to give it up when I realized none of them were really doable without my own helicopter. The scarf and feather became Abby-themed decorations in my fort. But what if all those things were actually a cunning key to decode the postcards, and I'd somehow missed it? Me, the world's greatest secret agent. I'd never live it down. I glanced at the picture on the front of the card, which showed Orcas Island and, for some reason, a goofy-looking moose, and shoved it in the very back of my postcard shoebox alongside all the others. That was it, then. It was over. My best friend was coming home. And one way or another, I was finally going to get the answers to all my questions. Nothing to do now but climb up on the roof and wait. It got pretty hot sometimes. But every day that summer, I'd braved the heat and the danger and clambered up roofside, staring out west past Seattle and Puget Sound toward Orcas Island. Somewhere out there, somewhere past that darn pine tree blocking my view, Abby was trapped all alone at camp, waiting, counting down the days just like I was. Which meant we were waiting together. Only, as the scorching July days dragged by, I'd had to admit I was starting to feel, despite all my training and patience, maybe just the teeniest bit lonely. Which might explain why I screamed like a third grader presented with pie when the Hernandez's car crunched into the driveway next door with a back seat full of duffel bags and a front seat full of... Abby! I scrambled off the roof so fast I almost broke my neck. We met in the middle of Abby's lawn and slammed our arms around each other. Abs! Maggles! We hug danced around and around and around. We stepped back. Abby looked fantastic. She had a hearty sunburn, impressive scratches on her arms, and a fancy new side braid in her dark, curly hair. She was also taller than me somehow. I squinted. She actually looked pretty different. She looked like new Abby. Wait, I thought for the first time all summer. What do I look like? Am I new Maggie? I felt the same. And I knew from the mirror that morning that I still had my usual choppy bangs, square jaw, and independent eyebrows. Abby was smiling, though, so I must have been doing okay. "Look at you," she said, bopping me on the arm. "Look at your tan. I missed you." "You too," I said, bopping her back. "And how dare you get taller without me?" "Did I?" Abby stood up straighter. "It must have been all the tree climbing, and swimming, and hiking, and everything, and..." She grabbed my arm. Mags, summer camp is the best thing ever!
Wait. What?
Oh, come on. You can drop the act, I said. You're safe now. What was your code, anyhow? You better tell me right this second. I've been trying to crack it all summer.
It was Abby's turn to blink.
Code? What code?
The coded messages. In your postcards.
I never sent any coded messages in my postcards.
We stared at each other.
Something wasn't adding up here.
But you did, I said. Remember? All that I love camp and stargazing in the canoe out on the sparkly perfect lake talk and everything.
Well, yeah. I wrote that because I did love it, obviously.
The pieces of the summer puzzle I thought I was working on split apart and began swirling around in my brain, forming new awkward shapes.
But when you left, you said you wouldn't, I said. You promised to hate it.
Yeah, but I didn't understand about camp back then, said Abby, shrugging. She made it sound like a lifetime ago.
When I got there, it turned out to be amazing.
The sun was beating down on my shoulders, and Abby was right there in front of me. But for a moment, I wondered if any of this was really happening. Maybe I'd fallen off the roof and hit my head after all. That would explain the spinning sensation in my stomach.
But Abs, I really thought you were miserable, I said. I spent the whole first month planning out rescue missions to get you back.
Ha! That's right, said Abby. You said in your letters. I'm glad you kept busy playing your games. I was kind of worried about you being all on your own here, to be honest.
Wait. My games? Hidden hideouts and secret codes and daring island rescues were our games. And why on earth had she been worried about me? I was the one safe at home where I belonged.
Abby heaved an arm around my shoulders and squeezed.
Seriously, Mags, I have so many stories to tell you.
But first, you have to tell me all about your summer.
Oh, and where's this fort base thing you built?
I hitched on a smile, determined to keep my cool.
It was hard, considering I felt like the ground was crumbling away beneath my feet, but I managed it.
Come on, I'll show you, I said. How do you, get all those scratches, by the way?
Oh, one of the older girls tried to bully me by throwing my backpack in the blackberry brambles.
Did you get it back?
Yep, said Abby, with a grin I'd never seen on her sweet face before. I might have left hers in there instead, though.
She followed me into the living room, where my glorious fort took up most of the floor.
Whoa!
Abby stopped dead.
This is awesome! How did your mom feel about it?
I shrugged. At first, my mom had been really unhappy about having her living room torn up. But after a few pointed comments from me about how it wouldn't have happened if I'd been away at camp like we'd planned, she let me get on with it. I felt a little bad about making her feel guilty. She was super busy taking care of sick kids, after all. But not bad enough to give up my fortress of fortitude.
Ooh, Abby said, crawling in. I love it. It's so you.
I looked around, trying to figure out what was me about it.
It was a big fort. I'd definitely been ambitious. But other than that, it looked like any one of my typical, brilliant, well-organized secret lairs.
One thing I've learned over the years, if you're going to be taking part in epic adventures ranging from international spy agency wars to intergalactic dinosaur smuggling, it helps to start with a neat base.
Aw, oh, hey, Abby said, reaching up and batting at the patchwork scarf hanging from the ceiling. I made you this.
I know, I love it. And here, somewhere. I dug around in the arts and crafts corner and pulled out a bundle.
I made you this.
Abby opened it.
A scarf! You made me a denim scarf with gold tassels.
Old jeans and curtains. Sorry, I didn't have any patchwork quilts to work with.
That's okay. I wouldn't have either without the craft bin at Camp Cantaloupe, said Abby. It's crammed with all the things campers have left behind over the years. I found the quilt right at the bottom, but I love this scarf so much.
She put the scarf around her neck. It looked ridiculous, and grabbed me in another hug.
Hello, new Abby.
Old Abby never hugged this much. She even smelled different, like wood smoke and fruit punch and coconut sunscreen. My heart gave a pang.
Oh, it is so, so good to see you, she said, letting me go.
But why did we make each other scarves? It's 85 degrees outside.
You started it.
That's all they taught us how to sew before we moved on to candle making.
Whee! Sounds fun.
Ha! Abby adjusted her scarf and leaned back against the sofa. She looked even older in the lamplight. It was, actually. You have to promise me you'll absolutely seriously go next year, no matter what. I don't even know how I'm going to wait that long. Camp Cantaloupe, she raised her hands toward the ceiling, is the best! My stomach lurched. This wasn't cool. If there really had been no secret codes coming in from Abby, and no messages hidden in the present she'd sent me, then that meant I'd wasted the whole first half of summer trying to figure it all out for nothing. That meant Abby really had had a wonderful 6 weeks without me. That meant I really had been alone. And that meant we needed to start the summer over. Right here. Right now. It was time to put this camp business behind us.
Yeah, I pointed out. You already said. But you're home now, and I have the most amazing idea for a new game. It's based around this place, which is actually called,
wait for it,
Gromit's Room. Now, I know you don't need me to explain the name, but I thought,
let's play something else, said Abby, flipping through the book stacked along one wall. I stopped, my mouth hanging open.
Something with more people, Abby went on. I've gotten really used to having lots of people around. Or at least let's do something more,
oh! Her head snapped up.
We can do camp! We can start a summer camp game!
I stared at her.
But you're finally back from camp.
And this way, I don't have to be. I'll teach you all the songs and the official camp dance, and we can find other kids to join and, yes, project!
She was using even more exclamation marks than she had in her postcards.
She whapped me with the tassels on her scarf. So, this fort or cave or whatever will be your cabin now, yeah? That means it needs a real cabin name. What do you want to call it?
Oof. Abby was moving way too fast. Way too fast without me. And I'd only just gotten her back.
If I have gotten her back, said a suspicious voice in my head. Maybe this new Abby was some sort of robot clone. Was that a hidden seam running along the side of her jaw?
No, I couldn't start thinking that way. Old Abby was under there somewhere. It just might take a little time to bring her all the way home.
And hey, at least she was enthusiastic. I could play along for now, and we could start the summer over with Abby's camp theme, and once things got rolling, I'd be able to step in and take the reins, just like always.
I don't know. I guess I could call it Fort McForderson?
New Abby snorted.
Cute.
Okay, then, let's go make my cabin fort. It'll have to go in my bedroom. But I bet my dad will totally let us tear apart the sofa in the garage. And I can tell you all my camp stories while we build it.
She unfolded her extra-long limbs and stretched, knocking over one of the wall pillows and exposing the row of wooden chair legs behind it.
Whoops, she said, repairing the damage as the bedsheet roof sagged alarmingly. Sorry. Let's get out of here before I totally destroy your cabin. It's probably too early to have a supervillain wrecking your base and spoiling all your plans.
Ah, that sounded like old Abby.
Does that mean you're volunteering when we need one? I asked, reaching out and tweaking her fancy new braid.
Abby's eyes narrowed, and she grinned her new grin.
You'll just have to wait and see.
2.
Loud pop music blared from the kitchen as we walked through Abby's back door, and the tightness in my chest eased as the familiar warm smells of the Hernandez's place rolled over me.
Dad! Abby called. I brought Maggie over!
She turned to me. Okay, seriously, it is so weird to be home. Abby's dad bounded out of the kitchen, a giant bowl of corn and peppers balanced in one hand, and a wooden spoon in the other.
Maggie! So good to see you again.
Hey, Alex, I said. You too. Alex and I were on first-name terms. He was Dad to Abby and her twin brothers, and Mr. Hernandez to his art students up at the high school. But he had always been Alex to me.
I've spotted you perched majestically up on your roof a few times this summer,
Alex said, stirring wildly.
You were drenched in the light of the setting sun like a pre-Raphaelite muse. Looked like fun. But aren't you just so incredibly glad to have Abby home?
Totally.
Of course you are.
And did you hear how much she loved camp?
I'm so glad she went. You have to go back with her next year. She can show you around and introduce you to all the other kids.
A burst of corn and pepper chunks escaped the bowl and scattered decoratively over the floor.
I put your bags in your room for you, by the way, Abby,
Alex went on.
I knew you wouldn't want to waste one second before reuniting with your best friend.
Thanks, Dad, said Abby. Hey, can we take the cushions off the garage sofa and build a fort in my bedroom?
Sure. Sounds like an amazing project. Whatever you do, don't let me interfere. Can you stay for dinner, Maggie? We're having a feast in honor of Abby's homecoming.
Absolutely. Thanks, I said.
Victory! I'd better get back in there, then.
He danced into the kitchen, and loud singing started up a moment later. I turned to Abby. I think I missed your family more than I missed you, I said. She whapped me on the arm. Come on, she said. Pillow time, and then I have so many camp stories to tell you. We waded into the cheerful mess of Abby's house, stepping past laundry baskets, stacks of books, construction paper animal heads, newspapers, soccer blankets over mismatched chairs, cat toys, random shoes, and all the other comfortable clutter of a family that was actually, well, home most of the time. Did your brothers miss you? I asked as we headed down the hall. But before Abby could answer, a teenage boy bounded out of a doorway to our left, followed by another, and she was lifted right off her feet.
Hey, Matt! Who's this stranger wandering around our house? Said the first boy. Oh, I don't know, Mark, said Matt,
a perfect copy of his twin, except for the bike accident scar curving down his cheek.
She looks a bit like that girl we used to know. What was her name? Abby? Only this girl's made of muscle and she's 10 feet tall. Where's Abby, you burly stranger? What have you done with her?
It's me, you goons, said Abby, laughing as she fought her way free. I smiled. There was old Abby.
Hey, now here's someone we can trust, said Matt, spotting me.
Tell it to us straight, Maggie. Is this really our sister?
Definitely, I said, ducking my head a little. All the blood in my entire body stampeded to my face. I mean, definitely, totally, yes.
Matt and Mark Hernandez were 16. They were tall. They played soccer and baseball and rode bikes and were very, very popular. And it was weird to say, seeing as I'd known them since forever, but they were getting to be seriously cute. Especially, Matt.
I guess it is you then,
Matt said, holding Abby at arm's length.
If Maggie says so, then we'll let you pass.
Do we get to hear all about your adventures at camp?
Mark asked, propping an elbow on his brother's shoulder.
God, they were adorable.
Obviously, said Abby. At dinner. But right now, Maggie and I have work to do.
Work?
Said Matt, stepping back.
During summer vacation?
Said Mark, putting a hand over his heart.
Work,
said Abby, her hands on her hips. The twins screamed and dove back into their bedroom. Abby snorted, and we continued down the hall.
Missed you,
called the twins.
You too,
Abby called back. In the Hernandez's musty, jam-packed garage, we stripped the cushions off the old orange plaid sofa, then hauled them back to Abby's little bedroom.
Oh, there you are,
she said, dropping her armful of cushions in the doorway and throwing herself dramatically onto the bed. Seriously, Mags, she rumbled into the comforter.
If there was one thing I missed at camp,
it was my perfect, wonderful mattress. I coughed loudly. She looked up.
Oh, right. And you, I guess. I threw a cushion at her, With no bulky sofa to build around, we had to improvise a rougher pillow fort than mine. But after 3 or 4 collapses, we managed to construct a lopsided dome in the corner between the foot of Abby's bed and her desk. It was super cozy, with just enough room for both of us to sit or one of us to stretch out. And once it was filled with pillows, blankets, sleeping bags, and Abby's old stuffed animals, it became a big squashy nest of comfortable. For finishing touches, Abby brought in a spare desk lamp with a bright pink shade. I hung the denim and gold tassel scarf across the ceiling to match the patchwork one in mine. Abby pinned a sign saying Fort Comfy over the entrance, and her pillow fort was done. And I had to admit, it was pretty great. I hadn't planned on Abby having her own fort. That was supposed to be my thing. But this place could really come in handy once our games got going. Spare food supply depot, cocoon for hatching venomous wolfbird eggs, emergency backup base in case our primary base got discovered by enemies or invaded by warrior jellyfish. There were so many options once Abby got tired of playing, summer camp.
Okay, Abby said as we snuggled in. This is so perfect. You've got your cabin, I've got my cabin. Now we need a name for the camp itself.
By our cabins combined, we are Camp... Camp... Camp Bestie? Really? I said, although I couldn't help smiling.
Even I think that's silly.
What if we combine our names? Camp Magabby? Camp Abgy?
Ew, no.
And I think the name should say more about what the camp is.
Fine.
Camp Spymaster, then?
This isn't that kind of camp, Mags. We're talking summer camp here. Maybe Camp Sofa Cabin?
What about Camp Pillow Pile? Or...
Ooh. Abby sat up, and our eyes locked. Camp Pillow Fort, we said together. And I had to admit I liked it.
Obviously, said Abby. Okay. She glanced past my shoulder.
Hey, Samson, no!
I turned to see my favorite cat in the world pushing through the brand new entrance flap, a dead mouse clamped between his teeth.
Aw, oh, buddy, said Abby. Get that out of here!
Samson blinked adoringly at her, then gently laid the mouse right on Creepy Frog. A gangly, googly-eyed stuffed monstrosity Abby had loved since forever. I leaned in for a better look.
I think it's a welcome home present. Isn't a mouse sort of like a dozen roses coming from a cat?
Yay me, said Abby.
She squeezed Samson and kissed the top of his head.
Thanks, I guess, buddy. I'm happy to see you too, but there were plenty of mice in my last cabin, and I don't want any in this one.
She picked the mouse up by its tail and crawled out of the fort. Hi again, I said, grabbing Samson around the middle and burying my face in his fur. He nudged me briefly with his cheek, then slipped free and started exploring the new space, kneading happily through the piles of soft things. Well, half kneading, half getting stuck with his snaggle paw.
All right, said Abby, poking her head back into the fort. Mouse returned to the great outdoors. But now it's go time. I want to get this unpacking done before dinner.
So, for what was left of the afternoon, Abby unpacked, and Abby talked, and I listened, stretched out in the entrance to the fort with my chin in my hands, Samson purring beside me. Abby told me every single detail about life at Camp Cantaloupe. She told me about her splintery, wasp-infested cabin, the terrible food. Cucumber casserole is not a thing. The embarrassing sing-alongs, the goofy counselors, and the unbelievable summer stars. She told me about the kids who'd been going to camp for years already, and about the kids like her who were there for the first time. She told me about all her new friends. And it was awful. Sure, I'd wanted to go to Camp Cantaloupe once too, but I hadn't. And there was only so long I could hear about things I'd never done. Places I'd never seen, and kids I'd never met before I started to feel even more left behind than I had that morning. So it came as a serious relief when we heard a loud knock, and Alex's head appeared around the door.
Hi, you two,
he said.
Dinner will be ready in... Oh, hey, nice fort.
Thanks, Dad,
Why does it say Fort Comfy on it?
Because it's a cabin fort, Abby said. Maggie has one too, and we'll be at Camp Pillow Fort for the rest of the summer.
The rest of the summer, huh?
Said Alex. He leaned on the doorframe, his arms crossed over his impressionist water lily's apron.
And we only just got you back today. I hope we'll still get to see you two while you're attending Camp Pillow Fort.
You will, I said. We'll stop by to say hi sometimes.
Glad to hear it. But for now, dinner will be ready in 5... Nope, now it's 4 minutes. Are you finished unpacking, Abby?
Abby yanked a final bundle out of the suitcase on her bed and flipped the lid shut. Yes, she said, raising both hands above her head. Victory! Done before dinner.
Then I'll see you girls and your freshly washed hands at the table in 3.5 minutes,
said Alex, and he left. That's just enough time for you to open this, Abby said, tossing the final bundle at me. I unrolled it. It was a mustard yellow Camp Cantaloupe t-shirt, with the name of the camp in red letters over half a cantaloupe and the outline of Orcas Island. Hey, thanks, I said, running a hand over the logo and trying to figure out if I felt happy or sad. Now I can look like someone who went to summer camp. I turned the shirt around. On the back was a picture of the same goofy-looking moose from Abby's postcard, with the words, Cantaloupe, cantaloupe, moose, 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 in a half circle around it. What's this all about? I asked, holding it up. After all those boring stories, this looked like it might actually be interesting. This had secret code written all over it. Seriously? Said Abby. Did I not tell you about the moose? I am such a terrible friend. That's like the heart and soul of Camp Cantaloupe. Okay, so apparently, years and years ago... But the story had to wait, as Alex called out a 2-minute warning, and we were off, racing Abby's brothers down the hall to dinner. We ate out on the patio next to the twins' broken bike art installation. We had grilled pork, corn salsa, red cabbage coleslaw, and sandwiches made of Rice Krispies treats and peach ice cream for dessert. Abby couldn't stop talking about how good the food was after 6 weeks of the mess hall, and her dad and brothers pestered her for all the best camp stories, so lucky me, I got to hear them a second time. Moths came out and fluttered around the table, and the sky had faded from pink to gold to indigo before dinner wound down. "Can Maggie stay the night, Dad?" asked Abby, scraping up the last bit of salsa with Rice Krispies treat crumbs.
"Sure, if your mom says it's okay, Maggie," said Alex.
"She won't be home until late," I said, "but I can run over and leave her a note." I helped Abby and her brothers clear the table, then went back through the gap in the fence to my dark, empty house. It felt extra dark and empty after Abby's. I grabbed my toothbrush and pajamas and scribbled a note at the kitchen counter. Mom, Abby's home. I'm asking permission to spend the night at her place. Yes, her dad is there. Yes, I said thank you. Yes, I'm bringing my toothbrush. I'll probably be hanging out with Abby all day tomorrow, too. Have a good night slash day at work. Outside, I could hear the birds finishing their nighttime songs. But inside, the only sound was my footsteps as I turned off the lights one by one on my way to the door. Good night, Fort formerly known as Grommet's Room, I called as I passed the living room and Fort McForterson. I'm sleeping at Abby's tonight, but I still love you and I'll be back tomorrow. I turned off the last light and put a hand on the front doorknob. There was a soft rustle behind me. I stopped. Everything was still.
Hello?
I said into the darkness. Silence. One cold finger danced down the back of my neck. I must have been imagining things. Probably just my shoes squeaking on the floor. No way was it a knife-wielding zombie counter-spy, or a giant northwestern shadow leech. No way. I turned and reached for the door again. A soft, distinct thump sounded from the living room. I spun around as cold fear leaped out of the dark and wrapped around me like a blanket. All my senses snapped into high gear. I wasn't alone. What should I do? For real? I wasn't making up adventures here.
there was someone in the house with me.
And it sounded like they were in my fort.
I stood frozen by the door, staring into the darkness, my eyes so wide they hurt.
Okay.
What would my mom do?
She was always good in a crisis. What had she said on the phone earlier?
Deep, slow breath. You'll be fine. I forced myself to take a breath and let it out silently. I took another, and a warming spark of irritation appeared along with it.
Why should I be the one scared? This was my house, wasn't it? And even if someone, or something, said an unhelpful voice in the back of my head, was lurking inside my pillow fort, I was 11 and a half years old, and I had a lifetime of experience dealing with crisis and danger. Okay, fine, maybe that had been mostly imaginary, but I still had plenty of practice. This wasn't all that different from the time last winter when Abby was being held captive in a ski lodge in the Alps, and I had to take on a room full of elite werewolf guards single-handed. A big show of confidence saved the day there.
Maybe it would work again.
I darted across the room in 4 quick steps and flicked on the overhead light.
Who's there? You're surrounded. Show yourself!
Nothing. No movement. No sound from the fort.
Fine, I said, ignoring my painfully thudding heart.
Deep, slow breath.
Then we're coming in!
Trying to sound like as many people as possible, I clomp-stomped across the floor to the fort. The sign declaring Fort McForderson was hanging crooked. It looked strange now, almost like a warning. I'd never realized before just how much my fort looked like a nest. A nest for some squirming, overgrown rat people with poisonous claws and curved teeth and horrible hairy...
Whoa, Maggie. Rally!
Another deep breath. It was still my overgrown rat people nest, and no one had a right to be in there but me. I crouched down, ready to jump back if anything spiny came flying out, and instantly wished I had something more impressive than a sparkly blue toothbrush and a pair of sleepy dinosaur pajama pants to defend myself with. But hey, maybe I just heard a book falling over. This really could be nothing at all, right? A slow ripple ran across the fort's bedsheet ceiling, inches from my face. Oh, no. It couldn't. 3. There was definitely something, absolutely, definitely an unknown something, inside my pillow fort. I lifted a shaking hand toward the entrance flap with my breath caught in my throat. But before I could get there, something parted the flap from the inside, and Samson sauntered out. My mouth dropped open and my butt hit the floor. Samson banged against my knee, purring. He had a piece of craft paper stuck to his snaggle paw. "Samson, buddy," I said, weak with relief. "What are you doing here?" He head-butted me again. I tugged the paper from his paw, racking my brain for an explanation. Had he followed me over and snuck in behind me? Maybe. Only, no, I would have heard him clattering on the wood floor. But how else could he be there? I crawled into the fort to look for clues, the patchwork scarf brushing over my shoulder, and? Hey, what was going on here? The pillow Abby had knocked over earlier was lying on its side again. Only instead of chair legs behind it, there was another pillow. An orange plaid pillow, with light seeping around its edges. Light coming from someplace else. As I sat there, gaping, Samson ambled past me into the fort, headed straight for the crack of light, slipped through it, and vanished. Okay, I said to the world at large. Okay. Once more with the deep, slow breaths. Then I followed the cat. I crawled into the fort, gave the new pillow a push, and found myself looking directly into Fort Comfy. Ever since we were little, Abby and I had played long, intricate adventure games. In the last one before camp stole her away, we were explorers hunting for giant sapphires in the lost temple of the saber-toothed tiger. Everything was going well until we reached the treasury,
where we just couldn't decode the strange, stripy markings covering the walls. It wasn't until I whapped one with a stick and smelled oranges that we realized the entire temple was scratch and sniff. After that, finding the secret chamber of sapphires was easy. Although getting out again wasn't when Abby accidentally released the saber-toothed guardians from the sleep ray I'd trapped them in when we arrived. Luckily, I had a spare hang glider in my bag, because even in our custom-designed adventures, something could always go wrong. And I was nothing if not a seasoned veteran. But this right here, right now, to have it happening in real life, to actually be able to reach from my fort straight into Abby's next door and scratch Samson's chin? Not even my years of advanced tactical training could prepare me for that. I stared at the space between our forts, feeling almost seasick as my brain heaved back and forth between, "This can't be happening," and, "Open your eyes, it is!" I crawled forward, steeling myself for a tingle or shock or shiver of energy. But there was only the soft rumble of Samson's purring and creepy frog googly-eyeing me from under the squashy blanket pile. Completely dazed, I kept moving and clambered to my feet in Abby's bedroom. She wasn't there. I stepped into the hall. The bathroom door opened. "Hey, Mags," said Abby. She'd redone her new side braid. "What took you so long?" I opened my mouth, then shut it again. "Did you want to brush your teeth?" Abby asked. I looked down, realizing I still had my toothbrush and pajamas tucked under one arm. How on earth was I going to explain what had just happened? Answer? I wasn't. I grabbed Abby's arm and pulled her into her room. "Okay," I said as she opened her mouth to protest. "Do you remember when we were parachuting into Old Fang Cathedral to find the lost relic of St. Claudia that held the secret code for the bank vault in Switzerland?" Abby gave a half smile. "It's kind of late to start a game now, isn't it, Mags?" "Do you remember?" I insisted. She frowned a little, fingering her braid, thinking. My heart gave a twinge. Old Abby wouldn't have had to think. "Come on," I said. "There were 30 of Scar's best secret agents trying to get there before us. And only you knew about the hidden door in the kitchen staircase." "Okay, yeah, I remember. Why?" "Because what I'm about to show you is like that parachute jump," I said. "I need you to trust me here." The corners of Abby's mouth twitched. "Okay," she said. "Sure." She crouched down beside me, and I waved her into the fort, following right behind. The little lamp lit up the mounds of blankets, purring Samson, creepy frog, and directly across from us. "Hey," said Abby, stopping dead. "What?" Her mouth dropped open. She looked over at me. "I know," I said. "But, I mean, what?" She crawled through the gap into Fort McForderson, poked her head out of the entrance flap, and crawled back, her eyes shining. "Mags, this is... We're linked!" "Uh-huh. And you know what we've got to do now, right?"
"Obviously," Abby nodded. "Test the cucumber casserole out of it."
So we did, going back and forth between the forts over and over and over. And no matter what we tried, whether the pillows were shut on one side or the other, if we were both in Abby's fort or mine, if the fort lamps were on or off, one fort always led to the other. We even checked to see if having Samson around made any difference, but it didn't seem to.
"Okay, I can't believe I'm actually about to say this," said Abby as we finally settled down in Fort McForderson. "But this is magic, isn't it?"
"Oof," I shook my head. "We don't know that for sure. And calling it magic makes us sound like third graders. Let's just call it linking, like you did before."
"Got it," said Abby. "So how do we think this linking happened?"
"Well, let's start with what we know," I said. "We know I had a fort the whole time you were gone, and it never linked anywhere. Now you come home, we build your fort, and suddenly they're connected." I looked at her seriously. "Maybe it's you."
"Me?" Abby's eyes went wide. "We learned a lot of stuff at Camp Cantaloupe, Mags, but we didn't learn that."
A loud knocking floated through the link from Abby's room.
"Hello?"
Girls?
Oop. Abby sat bolt upright. We've got company. Back to Fort Comfy. She dove through the link. I scrambled after her.
Hey, Dad, what's up?
Abby said, poking her head out of the fort.
Hey, said Alex as I smooshed in beside her. Oh, hi, Maggie. I must have missed you coming back over. Were you two telling ghost stories or something in there?
Yes, Abby said. Ghost stories, absolutely.
Ghost stories, I said. Yes.
Absolutely.
Sounds good, said Alex. But I hope they weren't too scary. It's just about time for lights out.
I still need to brush my teeth, I said.
All right, but 5 minutes to bedtime, okay?
Alex left, and we changed into our pajamas. Abby was already in bed as I came back from the bathroom. I switched off the overhead light and settled into the fort. Abby rolled up on one elbow.
Dude, I seriously cannot wait for tomorrow, she said. Can you even imagine how much fun our camp is gonna be now?
I was worried the rest of summer might be boring after Camp Cantaloupe. But this changes everything.
I froze, halfway snuggled in. I couldn't believe my ears. Did Abby really just say she'd thought the precious, glorious half of summer she got to spend reunited with me was going to be boring?
Seriously, Abby said, rolling over. Camp Pillow Fort for the win.
I clicked off the lamp and lay back, staring up at the ceiling. Old Abby didn't know the meaning of the word boring, but it looked like new Abby did. She'd really changed a ton at camp. Or maybe camp had changed her. At least we were together now, though. That was the most important thing. And we had weeks and weeks to have adventures in. Just the two of us, like always. Like it should be. New Abby would come around. I stretched my feet through the link and wiggled my toes back and forth. My house, Abby's house. My house, Abby's house. It was just like that time my mom and I drove to Idaho, and I spent a full 10 minutes hopping back and forth over the state line. Only this border here included the obvious potential for midnight kitchen raids, never-ending sleepovers, and glorious prank wars on cute teenage older brothers. I rolled over and grinned into the dark.
We were going to get into so much trouble.
4. Alex was leaning against the counter eating cereal as Abby and I stumbled into the kitchen the next morning.
Hey, it's my favorite girls, he said. You two are up early. Big, exciting plans today?
Abby caught my eye. I tried to hide my smile in a yawn.
Not really, Abby said, pulling bowls out of the cupboard. We're just going to hang out at Maggie's and work on our cabins. Oh, that's right. You're heading back to camp, said Alex. Well, I'll miss you. Don't forget you promised you'd stop by from time to time.
Abby nodded.
We'll be around. Today's just for setup anyway.
Just reinforcing the links, I said, getting out spoons.
That's very poetic, Maggie, said Alex.
Abby snorted into the fridge.
Do you have big exciting plans today? I asked Alex.
Oh, I thought I'd work on the lawn, and then I've got some errands, and,
He looked down.
Tamal's coming over for dinner tonight.
Yeah?
Abby said, her head popping up.
Are you two dating now or something?
Alex's cheeks arced into a grin, and he knocked over the cereal box.
Yes.
He said, hastily fumbling it back upright.
Finally, said Abby, handing me the orange juice. I like him.
Alex smiled adorably down into his bowl.
So do I, he said.
Breakfast didn't take long, and soon Abby and I were settling into the arts and crafts corner of Fort McFortersen to hammer out the details of our new game.
I can't believe how many postcards you have,
Abby said, running a finger over the shoebox.
Did I really send you all these?
Mostly, I said. The ones in back are from my Uncle Joe. He's been up in Alaska since April doing this whale research project.
Oh, cool, said Abby. Can I read one?
I shrugged. Abby pulled out a card with a picture of a snowy mountain range on the front.
April 29th. Dear Maggie, there was a meteor shower last night.
The whole top of the sky filled with shining trails of silver. It was unbelievable. If I ever get tired of whales, I'm going to become an